Father God, thank you for bringing us here together. Thank you for the freedom that we have to open your word in this country and in this building. Father, I just pray that you'll just open our spiritual eyes and ears right now so we can hear you and see you and we can learn what it is that you want us to learn this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk to you this morning from the book of James. James addresses his letter to the 12 tribes scattered amongst the nations, and he's writing to Jewish believers, so people who had already professed a faith in Christ, and that's like us today. And in his letter, James doesn't teach really any new doctrine, but he really seriously challenges new believers or how believers are living out their faith. So if you're feeling a little bit flat in your journey with Jesus at the moment, I'll ask you to read right through James and you will be challenged and you'll be inspired. It's a pretty tough book in places. So I'm going to read now from chapter 2, verse 14 in James. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodgings to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So James finishes that off saying, as the body with the spirit is dead, faith without deeds is dead. Is James telling us that the things we do count towards our salvation? I thought I was saved through faith alone, not through deeds. Doesn't the Bible say that we are saved by grace alone through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast? Yes. Paul wrote those words to the believers in Ephesus. And in Galatians, he also said, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value in Christ. In other words, following rules and doing things do not win you over to Christ. They cannot save you. Works and deeds and following rules do not get you into heaven. Salvation is only by grace, by God's grace, and it only comes through faith in Jesus. But listen to what Paul says to the Ephesians next. He says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And to the Galatians, he continued, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. So yes, we are saved by faith alone. If our faith is sincere, then it will be expressed by good works done in love. Good works and deeds are an outflowing of something special that God does in our hearts when we become his child. And James goes on to question whether a faith without deeds is even real. What good is such a faith, he asks. Can such faith save? And then he gives an example. He says that someone wishes a person well, but then fails to even see their immediate need, and let alone to address their need and attend to them. What they say does not match what they do. Therefore, what they say does not reflect what's really in their heart. What if you drove up to a wooden bridge, an old wooden bridge in your car, and after assessing it, you said, I believe that bridge can hold my car. It's strong enough to hold my car. But then I turn around, do a U-turn, and find another route. Is that faith in that bridge? Is James's word what good? In James's words, what good is that faith? Can such faith save you? And I would say no, certainly not in a bushfire situation when you had to use that bridge. You have to drive on the bridge. Faith without the follow-up action is dead. It's useless. When words and actions match, it's called integrity. And when words and actions don't match, it's called hypocrisy. A profession of belief in Jesus without any accompanying actions may well just be an academic understanding that Jesus is the Son of God. Even the devil knows that Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, he's so certain of it that he shudders, he trembles in fear. Faith is actively placing your trust in knowing that Jesus is the Son of God and he died for your sin. It's driving onto that bridge. Faith is a personal, loving response to Jesus. Faith is a commitment to repent and follow Jesus. True believers do not tremble in fear of the Son of God, but we do tremble in awe and wonder at our Saviour. Deeds are our faith expressed in love. I will show you an apple tree by the apples it produces. If a tree doesn't produce apples, then it probably isn't an apple tree, or it's a very sick one. And James says, I will show you my faith by the deeds it produces. If your faith and my faith do not produce loving deeds, then it may well not be faith at all, or it is a very sick faith, or possibly a dead faith. Rahab was not a Jew. She lived in Jericho, and she believed in the God of Israel. When spies from Israel came to check out the city of Jericho, she protected them from the king by helping them escape. Rahab demonstrated her faith by her love and care for his people. She put her profession of faith into action. She trusted the mighty God of Israel to protect her and her family as she put all their lives on the line by her actions. And not only did God faithfully keep her safe, she was blessed with the privilege of being included in the line of Christ. She was Boaz's mother. She was Ruth's mother-in-law. And she was Jesus' great, 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 great grandmother. Deeds are our faith expressed in love. Jesus is the perfect example of this. Jesus not only put his life on the line, he chose to die on the cross in absolute faith that his Father would raise him back to life. Jesus' faith was expressed in the greatest outflowing of love ever, the greatest deed ever. Deeds are our faith expressed in love. And deeds make our faith perfect. When Abraham heard God command him to sacrifice his son Isaac, it made no sense to him. Isaac was the one through whom God promised to make Abraham into a great nation and to bless all nations. Abraham loved Isaac and he loved God and he trusted God completely. Abraham demonstrated his faith by his obedience even when he didn't fully understand. And God was faithful. He provided a substitute lamb sacrifice and he saved precious Isaac. James says, you see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Abraham believed, and it was credited as righteousness. Abraham's faith was made complete. It was made perfect by his deeds. Deeds make our faith perfect. Have you noticed that whenever Jesus healed someone or did a miracle for the people, he always required an action to accompany their faith in him, to complete their faith. When Jesus changed the water into wine at a wedding, Jesus said to the servant, "Fill the jars with water. Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." He didn't say, "Try a little bit first and make sure that miracle worked." Can you imagine the shame and the consequences if the servant took that goblet to the master of the ceremony and it was water, not wine? The servant put his faith into action and risked taking a goblet of water to the master. His faith in Jesus was put into action, and everyone at the wedding was blessed as a result. When Jesus healed an invalid of 38 years at the pool of Bethesda, he commanded the man, "Pick up your mat and walk." Now, this man had given up even trying to roll into the water, the healing waters of the pool. So imagine the faith it took and the obedience it took to stand up on those crooked legs and crooked feet. And he did it. He put his faith into action and he was healed. When Jesus fed the 5,000, the disciples first had to take 5 loaves and 2 fish and walk around a huge crowd and hand out the food. Imagine the embarrassment if it didn't go around, if the miracle didn't work. But the disciples put their faith into action, and not only was there enough, there were 12 baskets of food left over. Deeds make our faith perfect. Now listen to what the writer of Hebrews says to Jesus, or about Jesus. He says, "In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered." Wow, even Jesus' faith was made perfect through his deeds, through his death on the cross. Did you realize that Jesus had free will just like we do? He could have chosen to do things his way and ignored his Father's will, just as we do often. That's why the devil taunted and tested him in the wilderness. But the Father's love is greater than the taunts of the devil. And Jesus' faith in his Father's will was steadfast. Jesus' obedience made his faith perfect. As a pioneer for salvation, he paved the way for our faith to also be made perfect by our obedience. Deeds are faith expressed in love. Deeds make our faith perfect. We must never do things to prove that we're good enough for heaven or to make ourselves good enough for heaven. But James challenges every believer who professes faith in Jesus Christ, "Show me your faith by your deeds." Faith alone justifies, but the faith which justifies is never alone. And Martin Luther said it this way: "Faith is a living, restless thing. It cannot be inoperative. We are not saved by works, but if there be no works, there must be something amiss with faith." So what do your deeds, your actions, your words, even your thoughts say about your faith? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour, I pray that you prick our hearts this morning with whatever it is you want us to heed out of this lesson. Thank you for your choice to die on the cross so that we can live by faith in you today, and so we have a place in heaven with you. Please well up the love that you've placed in our hearts so that it overflows and pours out in love for others. Don't let our hearts sit still as you nudge us. And I pray that you stir us to put our faith into action today. In Jesus' name, amen.